Yes.
Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. They sent this out here. John Martin had them on this week. They continue to send my wacky self out to places like Coco's here in Laurelville. We're giving away a Raven scratch-offs. Also have some instant lottery scratch-offs to give away. Our friends at Window Nation, I got the wacky hat, 866-90-NATION. Buy two, get two free, 0% financing for 5 years. And our friends at Jiffy Lube, MultiCare, changing oil and more. Get out and get your oil change for the holidays. We've had News American people here. Rasig is here, my co-host with a K at Coco's in Laurelville. Ron Cassie doing overtime here as a senior editor of All Things Baltimore Magazine. Check out the Diners issue and the Winter Wonderland issue coming out soon. Pull a little card out, subscribe, do all the things that, here it is right here. Subscribe and save 83%. Am I doing a good job with this?
This is great.
83% to do this. So,
83%.
And keep Ron in business here and take care of the sponsors of Baltimore Magazine. Ron had no problem coming. So we were going to do some baseball. We've done about an hour and a half of fun stuff. Six finally got a beer, so he's very happy. Got American beer here. So I'm still drinking water right now because I have a story I'm going to tell Marcella. She's going to be upset with me. So whenever she comes on the show, this is our last segment. I want to do baseball with you guys because we've done stadium bitching. We've done downtown. You can come back later. We'll yell about Bramble and Harbor Place and do all because I know you want to do all that. We've done bike lanes. But we all love baseball. We talk about baseball and media and press passes. And I questioned whether Rasig's a real media member or not. And then Rasig had to tell the story about how he almost got Ken Rosenthal killed. So,
apparently on his first day on the job.
First day on the job, poor guy, you know. Like, he comes back. I had not even met him yet. And
what was the cartoon?
It was a cartoon about Eddie Murray. It was about, remember, Eddie had kind of a reputation for not getting his uniform dirty. In other words,
that was Stan Charles's. Stan Charles's thing. He owns that.
I forgot the cartoon that I did, but it had some. It was some twist on that I did. You know, for a recent game that had happened, and Eddie again has no access to the sports cartoonist.
Right.
He has access to the sports
reporter. Or the headline writer,
which is good for you, by the way.
The guys who wrote the headlines were never the writers. So if the headline might have been a little bit tawdry, you heard it. Trust me, you heard it as a writer, as a beat writer.
So Ken comes back to the art department that day and introduces himself. He says, "Hi, I'm the new, you know, sports writer here." And I got to tell you, you must have done a cartoon or something. People told me you're the cartoonist. You must have done a cartoon that pissed off Eddie Murray, you know? So he put me up against a locker and said, you tell that cartoonist to stop doing these cartoons or whatever. Something like that.
Eddie Murray jacked up Ken Rosenthal's first day on the job.
Yes, like a mismatch, you know. But
1986.
And he's got a foot taller, right? Yeah.
He was a little shorter than Henneman.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, that's how I got to meet Ken. And, you know,
you still haven't met Eddie.
Right? Kudos for Ken that he came back for day two.
I didn't meet Eddie, but when I lived in Conkeysville, Eddie, I think, was dating someone in my apartment complex. So we would see Eddie come up. And
Eddie would appear.
He would appear, but yes. I never.
Most famous man in Baltimore.
I've never met Eddie. No. But I that's the closest I've come to meeting Eddie. Is kind of 6 degrees.
So Rasig got here in '84, right as Irsay was like on the way out. So he's sort of famous for drawing Irsay's face in all sorts of dartboard material.
Oh, right.
You know, they did whole dartboards.
And a dummy, you know.
He is the dummy. Yeah, the dummy was his. All three of the dummies. Two of the big ones and the little one.
He would have been a great target for a cartoonist. I mean, perfect.
And I question whether
he was perfect villain.
There was never any. Peter Angelos was the next best, but Robert Irsay is the greatest cartoon fodder I've had as a sports cartoonist in this town. You know, no doubt about it.
The villain's villain.
So great, you know. Yeah. And the dummy was, you know, famous in the town. They had him in parades. They would wire up a wire to his, like a string to his hand, and he'd be in a parade here. They'd use him and they'd put him in the back.
And he'd wave.
They'd have someone waving and people would just throw things at it, you know.
Oh my God, I got to find a photograph. I have to find a photograph of this.
The real dummy is sitting in Nacho Mama's.
No.
In Canton. The real dummy head is at Nacho Mama's.
Oh, I mean, okay, yeah.
The head, the original head, is in the coffin.
I'm going down
at the front of Nacho Mama's.
I got to go. I'm going
down.
The full
dummy is no longer in existence.
The little dummy.
Photos, though. You have?
Oh, I'll send you one. I'll send you one. Yeah, it's a great photo, yeah.
You know where you can see the photo of him? And I'll plug Dan Rodericks here, okay? I went to see Rodericks' Christmas show last year, and I'm in the front row. And Dan was a mentor to me and a friend. Dan's one of my favorite people. He's doing a show tomorrow, so we'll have a story. But the Resig picture with the dummy is literally in his show.
Yeah, no,
it's on the screen.
I did not see the show.
Picture,
I'm looking forward to
I had my
it.
Phone. I took a picture of it, and I sent it to Resig. I'm like, dude, I'm 3 minutes into Roderick's play, and you're in it.
I am looking forward to seeing that.
You just reminded me. I didn't see Dan's play last year.
Next Friday.
It was sold out, and I've got to go online if there's think it's available.
Yeah, I am looking forward to it.
I know a guy might be able to help
you next Friday. Great reviews.
So I want to talk baseball with you guys. Eddie Murray being the linchpin to all this. You had an aha moment in the last segment that I've had, because I sit here and do this all day, every day, that how happy Mike Elias is to this machine and what they are right now. And Mike Elias has to get down the hallway and ask for money now, right? For something. I don't know what it is. For pitching, for arbitration, for Rutschman, for Henderson, whatever it is. They need to spend more money.
Yeah.
And they can say, well, we will spend more. We can spend a dollar more and say you're spent. I mean, I don't believe any of that smokescreen. I want to see what they're doing. But other organizations, front-facing, when you're trying to recruit your fans, you win 101 games, they should be in the news every day.
Yeah.
You're talking about doing something, even if they're not doing something, to whet our appetite.
Before last year, Forbes had them at like the eighth most profitable franchise in baseball year over year. So that was before. Attendance went up, must have gone up 30% last year. I mean, they were on that track, right?
But what does that mean for season ticket sales? What does that mean for club boxes? What does that mean for sponsorship sales? They're looking for a new sponsorship person. I saw that on Ray Namoli's LinkedIn. I mean, like, keeping employees there and keeping employees happy, now they have this growth, and keeping the baseball genius happy and his system happy,
because
they're not going to pick 1-1 anymore, right? Not for a little while anymore,
right?
I mean, Mike Elias is never going to pick 1-1 here. He won't live long enough here to do that, right?
I mean, it's the most amazing string of draft picks that I can almost ever recall in any sport. I mean, it's just, you know, it's almost back-to-back rookies of the year, right? I mean, Adley, if he came up earlier, probably would have got it
last
year.
Well, Holly's coming up next year.
Holly's on, you know, it's amazing. And I don't know, I'm hoping that Mike Elias is from Alexandria, Virginia. I'm hoping that maybe he's close by, like that's why he wants to be here. Because
right, that's a good point.
I think he could go anywhere he wants at this point.
Right. And at what point during his first contract does John Angelos make it attractive enough for him to sign a second contract? Like, literally, at what point does that happen? And at what point does he say, I'm really happy here, and I have, for Mike Elias, I have everything I need to be successful running the ball? The one thing, you don't have money, you're never going to have money, right? Against the Yankees, you're never going to run that kind of operation, right? But you have to be so strategic with every nickel that's spent that it has to be well spent, because the draft's not going to help you in the same way it did when you stunk, right? Like a good football team, right? Or like when the Ravens give money to Joe Flacco, they give money to Lamar Jackson. They have to be that much more shrewd about what they do or don't do.
Don't forget that they had a lot of first-round picks before Mike Elias came, because they were bad then, and they didn't do well with those. So, you know, just having a first-round pick doesn't matter.
Exactly.
You have to have the guy there that makes the right calls on these first-round picks and second-round picks.
Yeah.
So, and he's done that since he's been
here. I think Oriole fans would be satisfied if the payroll got it somewhere into the middle of the pack would be enormous if we weren't the lowest, the next to lowest, right? If we
get to your point in the last segment, do the fans have any expectation or care at all?
I mean,
if they roll the ball out there and they don't do anything this offseason, you would say, well, they're going to win 90 games, and, you know, so they don't replace Kyle Gibson, and they talk about John Means, or they talk about whatever the next thing is, that'll be good enough here. I mean, the fans aren't even talking about the baseball team right now.
I think I think if the Orioles are competitive, fans will go. We've seen that. You know, the attendance, you know, fell off the map. You know, Bucks last year, they got rid of everybody. And the Orioles were just not competitive. I mean, you're losing essentially 100 games three times. You know, if the Orioles are competitive, fans will turn out. But, I mean, I follow Orioles fans on social media a lot, and I think everybody was expecting, you know, a pitcher, you know, or two. Yeah. I mean, a back of the bullpen guy we need. Yes. Batista's out, and I think people really are expecting it. They're looking at
But why
signing.
Can't you sign Blake Snell? Why can't
There's
you
word about they're getting somebody from
why
Japan.
Why can't you shop on the top shelf for a change, right? Like, they've never shopped on the top shelf because small market money, we're not built to win, we're not ready to win. I mean, they have their own top shelf with Henderson and Rutschman that they better – they're going to have to pay top shelf price.
Well, certainly they could. I mean, traditionally, right, with sports franchises – owners have been often happy to break even because the value of the franchise goes up so dramatically over every 5 or 10 years that you're making enormous. When you sell a team, you're going to make a fortune. So even if you're just cut breaking even, but the Orioles are one of the most profitable teams in the game, and not to spend money for a frontline starter, for a back of the bullpen guy, I think will leave fans disappointed. Everybody's going to turn out because we want to see this young lineup. We want to see if they can, you know, win the AL East again and be competitive.
I'm going to give you a line that came to me from the late, great Mike Flanagan, who I loved and was my friend. Told me that Andy McPhail once said to him, "Why feed him steak when they'll eat hamburger?" one sticks with me.
I would say this. I think everyone would be talking about the Orioles right now, except for we have a 9-3 football team, and so that's kind of in the forefront of sports right now.
Well, the Orioles haven't made a single move.
The Orioles haven't given us anything to talk about.
Not a lot of teams have made moves so far. I mean, it's still pretty early in that game, but I do think everyone would be talking about them and talking about the fact that we haven't made a move if it wasn't for the fact that we are like.
I don't want to jinx anybody. We have a
best
chance
record
to win.
In football in the
if
AFC
both teams
right
could win their divisions. That's a pretty good year for
that
the city.
That would be a hell
that's
of a pretty,
well,
yeah.
But the hamburger steak thing is pretty on point when it comes to Orioles concessions. I mean, I think fans have been pretty disappointed with the performance and the offerings at the concession. I think the Orioles do need to upgrade their game there.
Oh, really? You are reading different.
Yeah.
See, I this is one of the things about me being, and I'll take my Window Nation hat off here just for a minute. I realize why John hates me personally so much through all this, but I've done a lot of soul searching in this. I mean, I'm 55 now. I've owned the station 25 years. When I really think about this, and you said sports radio about an hour ago, Rasig, about the lightning rod of criticism and Eddie Murray doesn't slide or, you know, this quarterback's black, this quarterback's white. I've dealt with that for Banks and Gerbeck 23 years ago, right? Like, all of the things that are awful about sports radio or about opinions of all of that, I would just say that there is a point where the conversation, that they need to be a part of that conversation, not on the outside of that conversation. So the fact that the Ravens are relevant, 9-3, there's space for the Orioles. I mean, there's plenty.
No,
and they need to jump in and own
point.
That space and be well run and have a winter carnival and have a lease and have good relationships with media members they like and media members they don't like.
Right.
And there's a point where you wonder if they can grow up.
Right. In New York sports radio, you know, there's room for all of that. You know what I mean? Like, and they don't even have good teams. They have bad teams. You know, bad football
teams.
Well,
the thing that made me so unpopular, was people would have a bad experience with the Orioles. And I'm talking like a long time ago. I'm talking like I started the station in 1998. I've been doing this a long time. I'm talking like 02, 03, 04, when things really got bad, right? Like when Angelos was really running it, Messina's gone.
Right.
John Miller's gone. All that's over with, right?
Brutal.
And
there it goes. Brutal stretch.
Yeah. And then they were going to lose 12 years in a row, right? And the Ravens had just won the Super Bowl and were in Billick land. Ray Lewis is dancing. They're relevant every year, right? All that's going on. When people would call my radio station all day long in the summer was, "Nasty, what's wrong with the Orioles? I went to the game the other night and saw a cockroach. I went to the other night and they don't do this. And then in the parking. And then you can't do that. And And there was nothing good to say about them ever. And I became their complaint department, right? Like, literally, you couldn't call them and bitch because they didn't care. You couldn't call Peter and say, "Please fix this." You couldn't. There's no there. There's to this day. Call T.J. Brightman and ask him to do. Seriously, call him and with a complaint and see where you get with it, right? I would just say I became my radio station became the complaint department for them. That, like, Twitter is. Yeah. Yeah. You know, you're pissed at Southwest Airlines. They lost your bag. You yell on Twitter. You know what I mean?
Tag
like,
them.
Yeah. You tag them. Get them. Delta Airlines. Yeah. You screwed me. You know, like that's what my radio station was before there was an internet. And there was this perception that I was negative. No, you're giving the fans a rough ride. You're, you know, and when they're calling me about your team losing, your owner being obstinate, firing people, firing broad, like all of these bad things. And you've even brought it to the concessions, which is new to me. Because, like, to me, I wouldn't pay $14 for nachos no matter what. So I don't care if you're best nachos and could taste like pumpkin pie to me. I wouldn't pay. But there are so many things people can complain about. And I think with the Orioles, there's no complaint department. There's no department that you go to where you feel like they mistreat their broadcaster. They put their broadcaster in timeout and tried to hide it and had everyone around him still to this day lie about it. Ben McDonald, none of them are allowed to talk about it because they'll lose their job.
Right.
And that's that sits underneath of 101 wins and the lease issue and the bad vibes and the fake thing that they did with the governor saying we have an agreement, applaud for us, and it's right. Fake. I mean, I would have said to Wes Moore, and I did pull him up at the Crab Feast, he's going to embarrass you. He's going to embarrass you. Like that's what I should have said to Wes Moore. Because if you lay down with them, eventually you wake up with Kevin Brown, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's modern, and that's recent. And they need to get away from that, and I don't know what other than new ownership can do that.
You know,
and the complaint department for them, to your point, you read people bitching about the food on Twitter. I'm just trying to get
free agency. Well, I think if you were at the ballpark this year, like an opening day, I'm like you. I would tend to buy some peanuts and a soda and bring it in with me. And because I don't want to miss the game being in line. And people were waiting for a beer, miss two innings.
Meanwhile, yeah. I go to the KISS concert tonight, and it's like Royal Farms.
But
you pick it up, and you swipe your credit card, and you take your beer.
I would say this. I think the point about the Ravens, you know, definitely football is a very, I think, seasonal sport, right? Obviously, it's a seasonal sport.
Yeah.
The thing about baseball is that it's every day. The box scores are every day. We can talk about it. We can bitch about it. We can celebrate. And you also have baseball is one of those things where, average fans, you know, you go to a bar, you sit next to a guy and a girl, like they're talking about who's in the minor leagues coming up. They know in Baltimore. They know who's at Bowie, who's at Aberdeen. They know who their draft picks are.
I agree
like,
with that.
All of this is conversation that is on a different level than other sports. Right? You're not talking, and you can go. The baseball season around the country, let's be honest, it's not just peculiar to Baltimore. You can go to a bar and they'll be talking, they're lulling in the action about what somebody did in AAA, who's coming up, who they need to move, you know,
sure.
and it's remarkable that Baltimore is ingrained into the fabric of the city, the conversation through the spring, summer, and into the early fall in a way that's really unique with obviously 30 spring training games, 162 regular season games,
sure.
Minor league, the draft. It's something that you can talk about like every single day. It's a little different than football, I think.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's a good point. The hardcore baseball fans will talk that.
And this is why there's an affection for Camden Yards and for the Orioles that even survives. What was it, 12 or 14 straight losing years, even survives 100-year losses. Like, they put a good product in the field last year, attendance went up.
Well,
they put a great product in the field, attendance soared this year, you know?
And they moved the fence back under the guise that we're going to use that to attract pitchers, right? We're going to be able to sign
a pitcher. How about that the Orioles are making the taxpayers pay for that moving the fence back? The Orioles, like 3.5. Pamela Wood, give her a shout out to the Baltimore Banner. Did a nice piece of, like a month ago on the MSA, the Maryland Stadium Authority.
Who
stuff.
Paid for that wall?
You paid for that wall.
I didn't.
It was $3.5 million to move it back.
Yeah, and we still can't get a picture.
And the Orioles cut a deal to deduct that from their rent.
Oh, okay, yeah. Wow.
I mean, that's
slippery.
Wow.
I mean, I think the average fan would be like, look, if it got us to 100 wins in first place, okay, that's worth it. But, you know, it's those kind of, there's like the minutiae, the details, the nickel and diming of the fans. This is where people would come up with concessions and stuff like that. Not just the quality, but how, you know, there's no concessions open on the upper deck or whatever. The long waits.
I buy
like
from Clancy, my beer's always cold.
I have a great, I live close enough that you know, like I ride my bike over, I grab some peanuts and a bottle of water or something and go in. I have a great experience. I have a great relationship with the Orioles communications people. You know, on the playoffs was great this year.
Tell them I'm not as bad as they say. let them know I'm not a bad guy.
You know, I think they have, I mean, they've been blessed from, you know, Chuck Thompson and John Miller to Kevin Brown. I think Ben McDonald and Jim Palmer are both great. You know, I think they've been really fortunate to have great announcers.
Ben McDonald's great.
I enjoy Ben, yeah.
I love Ben when he's... I mean, I've known Ben forever. I got to see him down in Arlington to catch up with him, but I love Ben. I tweeted at Ben from the bar here tonight because LSU's playing.
We gave him a Best of Baltimore
Award
the first
year.
Part
of growing up here, and Rasik can speak to that coming here, is that... Because I would come over to your house. You'd have John Miller, Chuck Thompson on your porch. It was a companion. The announcers are companions to the sport. They're your eyes, your windows to the sport, and that's why they can't be compromised.
That's what the blow up with, not to go keep going back to about Kevin Brown, who did nothing last year to get suspended.
Right.
And then this cover, like, you're just shooting yourself in the foot. You know what I mean? Like, everybody has an affection for the, you know, great job, the preparation he does. He's a fun listen. Great with Ben McDonald and Jim Palmer.
Loves Blink 182.
Loves Blink 182. But, you know, I mean, to just bully somebody in that way for no reason, to get that wrong, you start to wonder about everything else.
That's what I worry about. So Ron Cassie's here. He's one of the smart guys. He's at Baltimore Magazine. We've senior executive editor. And Rasik, you had something you wanted to
say. Oh, I just wanted to say, and we were talking about, you know, how ownerships kind of ignore journalism. You know, let's not forget that back in the day, Peter Angelos, you know, and John Miller, you know, did not bleed Oreo blue.
That was it. He didn't bleed enough black and orange.
He didn't bleed orange enough and was gone.
He
said
it on my airwaves, by the way. He didn't bleed enough orange and black.
Yeah. I mean, it goes back that far, you know, further probably. But I'm just saying, in recent memory, Peter Angelos tried to control the whole thing, too, you know. So, I don't know.
I just want to see better leadership, Ron. That's all. I mean, you want to ask for $5 billion. We'll give it to you if you got a $5 billion idea. You know what I mean? I'm not against them getting money. I'm not against the... I want to see an idea. What's the great idea that's going to make that area relevant enough for the taxpayers to give a couple of billion dollars to billionaires?
Well, so far, I'm happy that, I mean, as a taxpayer, whatever, that the... state legislators have not caved in, you know, that like $600 million is enough, right? They're likely not going to have to pay any rent, you know, get the same deal. I mean, that's a pretty sweet deal. If you're going to talk about developing state-owned property, I mean, that stuff, the city needs to be involved
in
that,
right?
Put some
skin in the game.
And the city, whatever Bramble brings together for Harbor Place to connect these a little bit, they're going to have to run those architectural designs through city planning commissions. It's not clear that the Camden Warehouse and the train station, all that kind of development, that if on state-owned land, that the city of Baltimore would have oversight over those architectural plans because it's state property, right? So you can't avoid that democratic process of having the citizens of Baltimore's elected representatives and people have a chance to look at those architectural plans, weigh in, and do all the kind of...
Well, the city council
process.
Did that last week, right? With the Bramble plan, right?
Right. They pushed back a little bit, right? And they're gonna... that's going to be an ongoing process. But that process that you're seeing would not happen necessarily. I don't think it would happen if you hand over the state... owned land to John Angelos
and
to develop
the stadium,
because it's state land, and conceivably the city would not have impact in the planning process they do with, like with Harbor Place, which they of course, you know, should have that kind of plan, should be transparent. City should have oversight over that.
Well, I've spoken like a true journalist. Baltimore Magazine, what do you love about it? Or tell people why they need to get Baltimore Magazine. Other than Max is awesome.
I'll tell you what, Max is awesome. Our editor-in-chief is awesome. Amy Sattergood, one of our editors, did an amazing piece. You have to read the little intros to the diners and a little bit of the history and context of Baltimore diners.
I'm going to look at them and see how many I've eaten and how many I haven't, because you mentioned one I haven't, right?
Lost in the 50s.
Well, if you're from Dundalk, you know about diners, the Boulevard, the Broadway Diner,
Absolutely.
Of course. Sip and Bite. I mean, there's a lot
Sip
of iconic.
Sip and Bite. Oh, my God. Now, talking about the News American, that's a place... the News American sports staff gathered at
Cheese Steaks at 2 a.m.
Late at, and
it was open.
And talk professional wrestling, man. Like,
always.
That's,
that's great.
Next time on our show, we'll discuss Scrapple. Is it food or is it evil?
It's Baltimore, that's for
that's
sure.
Very
man, I had a knockdown drag out at Fadley's 3 weeks ago with Matt Campbell, who runs the Baltimore Convention Center, and Bill Cole over deviled eggs. We went.
I love deviled eggs.
Oh, gross.
I love deviled eggs.
You in on them or out?
I mean, I'm kind of in the middle of you guys on it. You know, like, I'll eat them when they're at a party, but it's not my favorite thing.
Yeah, it's the last thing I'm going to eat.
Speaking of diners,
is that a Baltimore thing, a deviled egg?
No, okay. But it's a picnic thing. when you put crab on it, it's a Baltimore thing.
Okay,
you
know? Right.
So that's what they do.
I prefer those.
And they put
those,
the Old Bay and stuff on.
I prefer that, yeah.
Come to Coco's, get a crab cake, sell off those deviled eggs. We don't need any
Coco's
of that.
Coco's rocks, man.
All right. It is my co-host with a K, Mike Rosigliano, better known as Rosig by his wife, his kids, and everyone else. By the way, I didn't get to meet your grandchildren. You have twins.
I'm so sorry we didn't make that connection. You know, like, I
feel like such a jerk. I was having burgers here with my wife last week, and I had the episode that I got to tell Mars about. Happy holidays to you.
Yeah,
it's
happy.
You.
Oh, it's the greatest. And I'm looking forward to my night out with you guys and seeing Dan.
I'm gonna try to
and seeing the Ursa.
I gotta get Cassie over to the Roderick show. You really need to see that, man.
Yeah, 100%.
No, it was
unbelievable reviews.
Beyond.
Yeah,
like when I saw it that night, all I thought about was everyone I know who loves Baltimore who didn't get to see it, and I thought I'm gonna gather. That's why I'm doing this holiday thing. Yeah. I thought Sig needs to be at this year, and I don't just need to make this small.
So excited to come.
So yeah. Roderick's and I are getting together. We're gonna be at the BMA at Gertrude's on Thursday with Dan, so if you hear him, or John Shields, or Odette Ramos, that's happening. Tom Kelso on Friday at Hollywood Casino in Perryville. Also, the whole crew up there is coming out in Perryville. Big appreciation for all they do. My picks suck right now. I'm in such a slump.
Oh my God, I'm bad this year, man.
In the last 4 weeks, I was 24 over 500 at one point. I'm down to 2 over 500 right now. And the Ravens don't even play this week. Next week, we'll be at State Fair on Tuesday. I think that's it. Our friends at the Window Nation, I'm going to come
I
back
ask,
here to Coco's and wrap things up, but go
can
ahead.
I ask about what you think? Who you think the Ravens' biggest competition will be?
Kansas City.
Okay,
Kansas City for sure.
I mean, in a Super Bowl too. I'm saying, you know,
wouldn't a Baltimore Philadelphia Super Bowl be really like I think about losing that, and I don't think that would go. You know what I mean?
Why
like,
we beat the Phillies?
And
in 83,
I know, and let's keep it that way. You know, I don't need any. What would Rocky, Apollo Creed, ain't going to be no rematch, you know? I mean, come on now.
It'd be a hell of a game.
I love Philadelphia fans. I got to admit.
I do love Philly fans, too.
I've
been to games with Nestor up in Philly. So, you know, like, I love Philly as a sports place.
I went to a New York Mets-Phillies game this summer, and people were tailgating like a football game. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what the fans were like outside.
Oh, yeah.
People weren't even going to the park.
I've never heard anybody say I love Philly fans. I mean that's new.
They're off the wall. They're wild,
you
man.
Like characters.
Yeah, you like characters.
Come on,
they
grease the poles.
Yeah.
Come on, it's Philly.
They used to have a jail in the bottom of Veterans Stadium.
That skinny guy with all the tattoos on him. You've seen that?
He's got
the fanatic in his navel.
Right.
With the horn. Yeah, yes. I've seen that guy.
Come on, it'd be great. Let's hope for it. Because that means you got to the Super Bowl.
Get in there, get a cheesesteak, get a pretzel, get the hell out.
I'm just saying.
When you do
I'm saying Kansas City. Who else is in the AFC?
It's not the Bills.
It's certainly not the Bills.
See the Ravens.
Bills
beat
will never get
if
there.
The Ravens met the Cowboys and beat the Cowboys. That would be my dream scenario. Because I hate the Cowboys
too.
So much.
I hate them too, Ron.
That would
I hate
be fantastic.
Those guys the most.
Yeah. I hate everything about that.
Other than the Dolphins, because they're.
I think Philadelphia and Baltimore maybe you know a little more in common. Up 95. I think. Dallas is the opposite of Baltimore.
So what you really want to see is Dallas beat Philadelphia and drive them crazy in a championship game. Wow. That
would be fun.
That would really piss the Eagles fans off. That'd be great.
That would be
I hate the Cowboys, though. I can never wish anything good on Jerry Jones. No. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back. I'm at Coco's. I don't know. Marce, are you doing a show? Who's doing a show?
Marce, you should get up
Marce,
here.
Marce, you doing a show? You doing a show? I have a really bad story I got to tell you when you come back over here.
All right.
You were here last week. We had a fiasco, and I'm going to tell – my wife's like, you're not going to tell Marce that's – I'm like, I got to tell her. I'm doing the show today. So
yeah,
that's my teaser for it. All I'm saying is we're taking crab cakes home for dinner tonight because I got to make things right. I got things I got to fix.
Right,
that's all
okay.
I'm saying.
All right.
I am not going to the Kiss concert at CFG Bank Arena, but I do have my Kiss belt buckle here. And you can hear my exclusive, because we always say that in media. I mean, other people have sat and had dinner with Paul Stanley. I'm not the only one, but I was the only one that night, 1990, in Dulles Hyatt. Paul Stanley said, hey, Nestor, just come back to my suite after the show, man. I'll give you an interview. We'll sit down. We'll talk all night.
You've had a nice run. Paul Stanley, John Waters. You've had a nice run here, Nestor.
Well, Paul Stanley happened in July 11th, 1991.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm glad you got John Waters on. Such a great guy.
Yeah, I meant to ask you before you leave. The last time you came on, you had that amazing night where Brooks was there with Barbara Mikulski.
Yeah.
You did that cover shot.
Yeah.
Cover, do you remember the cover of last year? It was all these iconic. It was
Barbara Mikulski, Brooks, Carla Hayden, Joy Scott, Kurt Schmoke, and John Waters. Yeah, it was an amazing group of
John Waters was there too, right? Yeah. I remember.
Got
that.
To hang out with Brooks. And the funny thing was, all those people, Barbara Mikulski, John Waters, they all wanted Brooks Robinson's autograph.
Yeah, of course.
He's the most humble guy of all. John Waters got two autographs from Brooks. I mean, that's, you know, trying to find something for him to sign.
Yes, right.
Yeah, really, really, really great
day. That's a neat experience you had.
That is, really. Yeah.
And it gives me a chance to talk about Brooks. To Brooks. We haven't had a social to Brooks, man, because we lost Brooks since last time I got
Yes, here we go.
Yeah, absolutely. For the holidays, man. Number five.
Brooks,
all right.
Brooks,
I'm
going to
come back. I'm going to tell the worst story I have on the crab in the history of the Crab Cake Tour.
All right.
When
good
I come back.
Good being with you guys.
I'm at Coco's. Yeah. I love Rasig. I love Ron Cassie. Go see Ron Dan Roderick's show. Subscribe to Baltimore Magazine. Pull the card out. Save 83%. Get off the cover price. Get 12 issues for just $14.97. So you go to Rofo. Go over to the magazine. Shake the magazine. And get this out. And subscribe. And then...
Yeah.
Is that good advice?
12 issues for $10, the holiday sale.
Wow, that is. I got to jump on that.
For faster service, visit bmag.co/newsub. There it is right there. Max, I love you. I miss you. I'm not Baltimore's best, but I'm pretty good. And I appreciate the... I got to give her a kick, man. Come on. I got to give her one little kick.
I wrote to her and asked her for restaurant advice for our anniversary, too. So, I mean, and I had just
there
met
you
her.
Go.
But she
there
is great. She
I have access to our food editors, yeah. So it's, that's great for
listen,
occasions.
I have a text thread here with Max, okay? I invited her to the Talking Heads show. This is the last thing. She, you know, like... She's like, got all this. I actually think concert film is the best use of that technology. That's Max's. But she couldn't do it. It was a bad week. She was deadline on the November issue.
There you go.
Is this November issue, December issue?
Yeah.
So she couldn't do it. So anyway.
Right.
Max, you missed out.
I'm glad I did. That's all I'll say.
All I have to say to you, Max, is All right. Psycho Killer's back from Coco. Stay with us.